DigiTaiwan, digital art and entertainment in Taiwan. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of DigiTaiwan. In today's episode, I take one final look at the GPS-based augmented reality mobile game Pokemon Go, its social aspect and real-world impact. Don't go away! In the last two episodes, I talked about Pokemon Go with Elio, a Swiss player of the game who came to Taiwan from Japan for a Pokemon event in late October. We discussed the game itself, its origins in another game by the same developer, and how the title survived the pandemic. But I was still curious about one more thing. I remember that Ingress could be a pretty social game. Members of one team would often meet up. They would find each other through messaging apps like Line, meet up, and then do things together because a lot of things in that game required cooperation. What is the social aspect of Pokemon Go? Do you ever meet people in real life because you both play the game? Or when you go to a new country, when you go to a Pokemon Go event, do you ever interact with people in the real world, but without the Pokemon Go sort of overlay on top of that?
Yes. So when in the beginning, very beginning, as you said, it was only catching digital monsters, and there was not a lot of social interaction needed to play. And then after 2 years, I think they introduced those raids, which it makes you have to have other players to play with you, or else you cannot beat that raid boss. Before that introduction of the raids, I mainly played alone, but I kind of knew that certain people are in my area, because the only thing you could do was you capture a gym, so you make it, you beat all the Pokemons who has been placed in there by other players, and you make it then to your own team color. That was the only gameplay. And you see then what kind of Pokemon the other players put in those gyms in order to defend that gym. And then you also see when you make it your team color, other people from the same team color can put the Pokemon in there. And then you start to always see the same names. But I never met them. But you know that they are always also in the same area because they are always in the same gyms with you. But then Niantic introduced those raids, and when that happened, you needed to find those players in your area to help to play with them in order to get a raid boss done. And that's when the community was really building up in Pokemon Go. So for example, in Switzerland back then, we started to have to form groups, like you said. Here probably they are using Line for it. In Switzerland we are using Telegram for it, because in the beginning we were on WhatsApp, but WhatsApp has a limit of 250 people in one group. That was not enough. In the beginning when the raids came out, for example in Zurich, I think they had a group which was about 5,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah. It's now not as much anymore, especially when a city is too big, it falls apart. That means certain area of the city are making their own groups because they can't travel the whole city anymore. And especially if you have enough players, you don't need the whole city to play with you. But in the beginning, it was like one group per city, and we could arrange when and what when to play. What I've liked in Pokemon Go is I met a lot of people which I would normally not have met. Especially when they were before Corona, with all the raids, you where randomly meeting people, they ask you, are you doing the raid? Can I join? And it really doesn't matter which, like the social standing didn't really matter. I was playing the game during the day and in the middle of the city, and a guy came in a suit and looking like super one of those business guys and asked if he can play with us. So that was something I think the game did bring different people together. Also, I met a lot of like expats in Switzerland. I think because I also know most expats in Switzerland, they say it's hard to make Swiss friends in Switzerland because Swiss people are not like that open and outgoing, and if they have already friends, they're not like searching for new friends. But I have the feeling this Pokemon Go was helping some of those expats to really make friends with Swiss people. I'm still friends with them. I also know a few people who have become, like, I call them like the Pokemon Go couple, still together and potentially also become married at some point. So there are quite a few such stories. And I would say at that time, it really helped me to expand, to have more new friends, which are very important to me, and I also go and travel with them to those events.
Has Pokemon Go ever helped you in Japan? Well, you were an expat in Japan, and Japanese people are also known kind of for being difficult to make friends with.
Yeah, that's the problem. I came to Japan during Corona, where I was not supposed to go out. And I think a lot of Japanese were also keeping to that restriction. Plus, Niantic introduced those remote play game. So I didn't needed to go out and play. I was still connected with my friend and my players in Switzerland because they could invite me to their raids in Switzerland and I could invite them to my raids in Japan. And so I still felt connected to my community in Switzerland and didn't really needed a new community in Tokyo.
Basically, Pokemon Go became like the rest of the internet. You don't have to leave your house ever again.
I think Niantic is trying to change that, but as you said, it's like they need to give people a reason to go out again.
Okay. I think we can all agree that making friends is great, but that's not the full extent of the game's impact on the real world. According to a report by Ars Technica, gaming-related accidents around Pokestops in Tippecanoe County, Indiana, increased by over 26% in the first 5 months after the game's release. These resulted in 2 fatalities and over $25 million in damages. That prompted Niantic, the game's developer, to make it impossible for players to interact with Pokestops while moving fast. Seriously, don't Pokemon and drive. Another report, published just over a year after Pokemon Go's release, tallied up 256 deaths, 150,000 traffic accidents, damages in the range between $2 and over $7 billion. And that's just in the United States alone. What about Taiwan? As you might imagine, it was more or less the same. In the game's first month, hundreds of players blocked a busy intersection to hunt for a rare Pokemon called Snorlax. Yahoo News called it a somewhat polite stampede. Well, no surprise there. This is Taiwan after all. A similar event had previously occurred in New York's Central Park. I imagine it was somewhat less polite. Pokemon Go has also been used to make political commentary. Like I said before, many real-world locations are points of interest in the game, and some are Pokemon gyms. That means players can compete to become each gym's top Pokemon trainer, so that both their profiles and the Pokemon are displayed for everyone to see. One of those gyms is in the White House in Washington. For a while, it was occupied by a trainer whose pigeon-like Pokemon bore the name Merica. That's a somewhat dismissive joke aimed at the country's shortcomings and perceived self-love. Well, A similar comment was made in Taiwan, where a Pokemon gym has been set up at the headquarters of the KMT. It is now Taiwan's opposition party, but its past leader, Chiang Kai-shek, ruled Taiwan for decades as an authoritarian dictator. The trainer, who topped that gym's ranking, showcased his tentacled, octopus-looking Pokemon, Tentacruel. This was seen as a statement on KMT's shadowy dealings and past cruelty. And then there's the world-famous Pokemon Go Grandpa. You thought I would leave him out? No way, I was just saving the best for last. Chen Sanyuan, a retired feng shui master, was in his late 60s when the game came out. One day, his son stopped by to visit and both of them went out for a walk because the son wanted to play Pokemon Go. Chen took a liking to the game and his son gave him his very first smartphone so he could play. Some would say that Chen liked the game a bit too much. He was soon spotted riding around Taipei on a bicycle with an array of 12 smartphones, each running Pokemon Go. But that wasn't Pokemon Go Grandpa's final form. Much like the little monsters, Chen and his bike evolved to the next stage. In 2020, he had 64 phones attached to a fan-like rack on his bike. All of them for Pokemon Go. Some smiled at the dedication, others admired the engineering behind the rack, others still criticized Chen for putting himself and others in danger. The phones could potentially obstruct the road for him. To date, however, Chen's most serious Pokemon Go problem was phone alerts. When an emergency broadcast system experienced a bug in 2021, it apparently took Chen half an hour to turn off the annoying, piercing alarm sound on all of the devices. I don't know if I would continue playing the game after an experience like that, but then again, I haven't caught the Pokemon bug. Yet. That's it for this episode of DigiTaiwan. Join me next week for more art and entertainment from Taiwan.